Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Now, we're going to go right into the word of the Lord. Today, we're going to deal with a going concern. Now, if you're like me, that term don't mean a whole lot to you. Matter of fact, I discovered that term, or not that I discovered it, you know, it became news to me, became a definition to me, or real to me just a few weeks ago. Because in government, they use it all the time. In government, they use it all the time. So I want to read a scripture to you to help you see where we're going in the book of Acts, the 28th chapter of the book of Acts. And if you would look in verse 30. The 28th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's look at something in verse 30 here. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him." Now, verse 31 says, let's read it together. Ready? Read. "Preaching the kingdom of God, all right, now, let's say it again. What was Paul doing? Number one,
preaching the kingdom of God.
Stop, comma. Then it says, and what else?
Teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ."
All right, so Paul was doing two things, right? He was ministering two things. Now, most of the church world understand teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of the church world don't understand preaching the kingdom of God. Paul done both of them. He was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you teach the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you're teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're teaching the gospel. You're teaching the gospel of the Father, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're teaching sanctification. You're teaching redemption. You're teaching being washed in the blood, the power of the blood, the power of the cross. Okay, you're teaching things like that, et cetera, et cetera. And we need that. You're teaching salvation. Okay, you're teaching born again. How to become born again. You're teaching, how to cast your sin as far as east is from west and remember them no more. But then when we come to the kingdom of God, we begin to say, what is that? What do you mean Paul was preaching the kingdom of God? Did you not know in the book of Luke, it makes the statement, it says that the world is not going to end until the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached unto all the world. Now, that's something to think about. See, Lord, you know, think about that. You know, not the things taught about Jesus Christ, but when the gospel of the kingdom is preached. When you search out Jesus preaching, Jesus says some things about himself. He did. He says, "I'm the door." If any man come any other way, try to get into the sheepfold, he's a thief and a robber. Jesus says, I come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father except by me. He says, my Father is the husbandry. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And except you stay, what, connected in me, you know, you're like branches that need to be cut off, you know, you're dropping, you'll be burned. You see, so Jesus says some things about him, which is solid. But then Jesus preaching, he preached about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The kingdom of God. Now, I said that because we've been talking about fatherhood. We've been talking about maturity. We've been talking about growing up. And all these things run into one vein. They tie into one system. Our theme this year is our branches reaching over the wall, meaning we've got to grow up to grow out. And then when we grow out, we influence, you know, what's over the wall. We bring influence. We bring our influence to what's over the wall. That's so important. I was noticing just the other day at some inheritance property that we received from our dad. You know, he's got, you know, all kind of fruit trees on it, and right now the pears, you know, are falling off the tree. I asked my brother, I said, why are those pears falling off the tree? He says, because they're ready to be eaten, you know. You know, I didn't know that. I thought, you know, the birds or the squirrels and got up there and shook the tree. And, you know, I thought the pears wasn't ready yet. And I said, well, bring me a few of them. He brought me four of my bit into it. And I said, oh, my God. You know, these things are good. Now, just think if there was a wall, you know, by that pear tree and, you know, those branches reached over the wall and the fruit of what was on the tree fell over the wall. You know, everybody on the other side of the wall, that pear tree would influence them. That pear tree would bring the sweetness of that fruit, you know, on the other side of the wall. Oh, taste and see that the pear is good. Hallelujah. You know, so the thing is, in the kingdom of God, as citizens, you know, we are called to influence, you know, territory that we've not influenced as of yet. Now, this morning I was talking to the class, and yesterday I was talking to the men about a going concern. A going concern, let me define it for you as it relates to a city. As it relates to a city, I want to define this term for you. A going concern, I want you to listen to this definition. Here it comes. It's on the way. All right. It's a term for a company. Now, if it relates to a company and it's good for a company, it's good for a family, it's good for an individual, it's good for a nation. You know, so don't let that company keep you in a box, okay? Let it help you think out the box. So it's a term for a company that has the resources needed in order to continue to operate indefinitely. Okay? So if I say that, if I issue a going concern, or say you are going concern, that means that you are an individual that has the resources that's needed for you to, in order for you to operate or to continue to operate indefinitely. Okay? If I say your business is a going concern, it has the resources that are needed for you to continue to operate indefinitely. If I say this nation is a going concern, then it has the resources that are needed to continue to operate indefinitely. Now, I'm gonna show you how this relates to us as connecting to the kingdom of God. God just put this on my heart, you know, this week to share with you, you know, as we continue, you know, on our journey of our branches reaching over the wall, growing up, becoming mature. And it goes on to say that if a company or an individual or a family or a nation is not a going concern, it means the company has gone bankrupt. Okay? That company, that individual, that nation has gone bankrupt. What does bankrupt mean? Broke. Out of resources. Busted. Disgusted. Now, what did the scripture say about us as it relates to the kingdom of God in Isaiah 61, verse 1? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do what? All that is deliverance. All that is deliverance. You're delivering somebody or something. You can't preach or carry deliverance broke. There's no way. You can't be broke, busted, and disgusted and try to bring deliverance to somebody. Because you're not what you're preaching. You're not what you're trying to bring. You don't have what you're trying to bring. Now, I want us to go, if we could, that's all of that definition. The Bible says, so we get that definition of a going concern. When a city, here's by state law. State law requires every city in its jurisdiction. If you live in Louisiana, well, New Orleans, Slidell, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, by state law, every year they have to get an independent audit. If you live in Mississippi, if you live in Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Jackson, Long Beach, Gulfport, Biloxi, Picayune, by state law, you're required to get an independent audit every year. Anybody know what an audit is? Huh? There you go. It's an examination. It's just. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread, it's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Like if you go in for a physical, okay? I know when I go in for my physical every year, you got to get naked. I mean, the way when they examine me. So you got to expose yourself to the doctor. Now, every man, you know, that is my age, around that age, they know that the doctor, you know, has got to take and put on a glove.
Yeah.
Huh? See, and then he puts gel on the glove. And then he's got to put his hand in a place that is not an entrance, but it's an exit. And you almost feel violated. My wife says, "Shucks." But it's an examination. You gotta open yourself up and be audited. Because they're checking for something. He ain't fooling. As a matter of fact, if he's fooling around, you, no doc. No, we ain't gonna have that. But he ain't doing that because he just want to do it, and you just want somebody to do something like that. No, he checking for something. He looking for something. You know, and what he looking for can literally save your life. But if you don't open yourself up and say, "Oh no, I ain't going through that. Oh no, you know, ain't nobody doing that to me," then you can literally die because you failed to get examined. So what happens with an audit, you open yourself up to be examined. In essence, you got to be transparent. And if you're not transparent, you know, again, it could literally affect your life. So Jesus makes a statement to us, says that, let me quote it in the King James Version. He says, and we're going to read it in the Message. He says, "You're the light of the world." Tell somebody, "You're the light of the world." And then, if you ever noticed it, there's a period there. And then he makes a statement behind declaring you're the light of the world. He says, "A city set on a hill that cannot be hid." So he literally tells you, you're the light of the world, and you're likened unto a city that's set on a hill that, try as you may, you cannot be hid. You cannot be hid. Now, I tell my wife and I were talking on yesterday, and I just couldn't get past the notion of how brilliant Jesus was. You know, some things Jesus would say, and Jesus say, "Now go find out what that means." You ever read in the scripture where he did that? He would say something, and then he would tell you, "Now you go find out what that means." You know, you can even take that passage that I just quoted, "A city set on a hill that cannot be hid." Now go find out what that means. Now, When you look at a city, now, because I'm in government and our responsibility is to operate a city and to make a city function, God in our planning session, I think it was last year, the year before last, I encourage all of you all to go to some city council meetings. You know why I encourage you all to do that? You know, it wasn't to go see how boring it was, to go see how exciting it was. It was to go see how a city operates. Now, why is it important to go see how a city operates? Because Jesus says you're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So if the Lord tells me I'm something, I need to know how that something should operate and function. And I believe we come short many times in life because we're ignorant of a fact. Now, let me show you why. My wife and I was talking yesterday morning, and she makes a statement to me. She says, you know, one of the cities along the coast, they were just downgrading one of the mayors because he went out and he turned, you know, senior citizens' water off. And they said they had it all on Facebook, how they was just downing the mayor for doing what he did. That, man, they're little old ladies. They're little old men that can't pay their water bill, and he turned their water off. You know what I did? I shut up and clapped. And I said he should have. Let me explain. See, because we don't know how a city operates, then what we do, we begin to criticize. See, the Bible says wisdom is what? But with all you're getting. And see, we criticize because we don't understand. And when we don't understand, we start saying things and we start doing things that we shouldn't say and we shouldn't do. And it's all because we don't. So what we need is a
understanding.
Here's the understanding. You liken it to a city. When you come to a city operates or it functions or it gets money from certain sources. All right? Now, the main source that a city gets money from, can anybody tell me? Which ones? Which ones? Which one? I heard somebody say it. Property taxes. Property taxes is the number one engine behind a city going forward. It gets money from property taxes. Now, you ever heard me encourage you to buy land or to be a homeowner?
Yes.
You know, Hancock County right now, Tommy asked me for something the other day, and I gave him an envelope full of forfeited land taxes in Hancock County. We have the most forfeited land in the state.
Wow.
Why? Let me explain to you. Because after Katrina, people flooded. Their houses flooded. Their property flooded. FEMA came in and gave them some money. And then the grant came in and gave them some money. And they took the money and they said, I don't want this house no more. I'm not going to rebuild this house. I'm not going to redevelop this property. And the reason I'm not going to redevelop it is because FEMA has raised the state. They want me to build higher than I was before, which is going to cost me more money. And then when I build higher, my insurance is going to be higher. You know, so that's going to cost me more money. So number one, I'm not willing to put more money into something, you know, that might flood again. And I'm not going to pay that high insurance. The insurance is higher than my mortgage on what I build. So state, you can have it. So they took the money and ran. All right. So when they took the money and ran, after a 3-year period, if nobody pays the taxes on that, then it goes back to the state. So now when it goes back to the state, that land is off the register of that city. So the city now does not collect property taxes on that land. And when the city don't collect property taxes on that land, then the city comes in with a shortfall. Because it's not making the money that it used to make, because it don't have the tax base that it used to have. Follow along with me. Y'all want me to explain? All right. So now watch this here. So if property taxes is the number one engine that runs a city, and the city's not collecting the property taxes that it used to collect, there's a shortfall there. Another thing that a city does, another place that where it collects taxes is sales taxes. Okay? If you're not buying in that city, then it can't collect sales taxes. Another place it collects taxes, money is from the services it provides. Now we're getting to where the rubber meets the road. A city, you know, is designed to provide services. It provides water. It provides sewer. It provides gas. It provides police protection. It provides fire protection. It picks up your garbage. These are services that a city provides. And everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Jesus says you are a
city
that cannot be hid. So you are supposed to provide services. Now I'm going to mix this up and you got to catch this and follow this here. This is why Paul tells Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. Then Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself what? Approved. A workman. Approved where? Under God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Doing what? How does that relate to a city? A city runs through ordinances. Let me break the government down to our government. You know, whether it's federal, state, or local, our government have three branches. Y'all, we learned this back in government, didn't we? Y'all? It has the lawmakers, all right? It has the judiciary, and it has the executive. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, what's that under your arm? And the priest said, this is bread, it's holy bread. David said, I have some of that. Then the next thing David asked, do you have any weapons here? And the priest tells him, nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah. Well, David said, I would have that sword also. So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread. bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Executive. All right. Now, if it works for a city, if it works for an individual, it works for a family. And I use this example. I travel a lot, you know, especially Tina and I with 4 girls, you know, and, you know, I'm the lawmaker. OK, I set the rules of the house. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is how we're going to serve him. All right. So I'm the lawmaker. So my girls do something that I don't like. They break the rule. So what I do, I set them down with my wife and I, and I say, "Now, I can whip you behind. Well, what we're going to do, I am going to whip you behind. And on top of that, here's the punishment I'm going to give you. I'm going to take your cell phone for 3 months." My wife said, "Ooh." My wife said, "Don't you think that's too long?" I said, "No, I'm going to take it for 3 months." All right. So I'm traveling out of town and I'm going to do what I do. Now, I did what? I laid down the law. Now, I'm out of town. She becomes the mayor or the governor or the president. Because all 3 of them are on the what side of the government? The executive side. They execute what I lay down. Come on, talk to me. So the thing is, you know, I'm going and I'm traveling, and the citizens, who is Stephanie and Kendra, Tamara and Krista, you know, they come to her and they say, "Mom, that is just too long. You know, we've been without a phone. He already chastised us. Why you got to take our phone also?" Well, The job of the president, the governor, or the mayor is, "Well, that's what your daddy said." See, she ain't got to make up her own rule. She ain't got to give her own opinion. You know, she says, "Well, that's what the law is. And that's what we're going to do." Huh? So the thing is, they don't get mad at her. They shouldn't get mad at her. They should get mad at the one who laid the law down. This is why I said, now watch. So a city is like this here. So she will not give them the phone. All right. So the mayor turned off the water. If she gives them the phone, I don't have an issue with the one who have the phone as the lawgiver. I got an issue with the one who was supposed to enforce it. So I come home and I get in her face. I start getting on her. "Yeah, you might want to bite me, but you better not bite me." Yeah. So I get on the executive side. But see, in our city ordinance, we found a way to make her do what she's supposed to do. I don't only give her the job to execute, but we write in city law in the ordinance that if the executive side do not follow the rules and keep the law of what we lay down, they will be put in prison for a certain amount of days and fined. Y'all with me? So when the mayor turned the water off to those senior citizens and those elderly, he just didn't turn the water off. He was operating by the law that was laid down. And you're criticizing him because you don't understand. He says, now, you can criticize me all you want. I'm going to turn the water off because I'm not going to jail for you. And I'm not going to be fined for you and nobody else. But here's the kicker. When he turns the water off, all of a sudden, the one whose water he turned off come up with the money. Oh, high five somebody and say, you got that right. Now, let's understand what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, study what? The law, the ordinances that's being applied to the city. He said, study these things to show yourself approved, not to the citizens. Because, see, the citizens are going to complain. The citizens are going to want you to change it. The citizens are going to want you to have mercy. The citizens are going to beg. They're going to plead. So don't try to show yourself approved unto them, but show yourself approved unto the one that laid down the law. A workman that need not be ashamed. Don't worry about the citizens judging you. You know, worry about him or the lawgiver judging you. It's all right to be ashamed in their sight, but don't be ashamed, you know, in his sight. And then he says, a workman that need not be ashamed, doing what? Rightly interpreting the ordinance. Huh? Meaning, in this ordinance, it says, I'm going to give you 10 days after your due date is due. And after 10 days, we're going to cite you. And if you don't pay after those 10 days, we're going to turn you off. Now, what are you doing? I'm rightly interpreting the law. You know, and then on side of that, it says, if I don't interpret the law rightly, I am to be put in prison, you know, and fined. So, turn it off. Now, here's what I found. That when the city does his job, or when the executive side does his job, it makes everybody else reconsider their priorities. Watch. Do we want a cell phone, or do we want running water in the house? Oh, come on. It makes you consider now, right? The thing is, well, if I don't have running water, I can't flush my toilet. And that stuff we lay down in the toilet, I don't want that stinky stuff in my house. So I need some running water to get that stuff out my house. If I don't have running water, then I can't wash my clothes. If I don't have running water, I can't cook my food. If I don't have running water, I can't take a bath and can't take a shower. Well, guess what? So long, cell phone. I mean, so what did somebody, you know, enforcing what's supposed to be enforced make you do? Prioritize and made you make the what? Best choice. Hallelujah. So you got to see how brilliant Jesus is when he talks about a city and we begin to search it out and consider everything that goes on in a city. Watch this here. I shared this with my wife and the men yesterday morning. I told the men I wanted them to know this first. How many own a house? Just raise your hand. You own a house. You own property. All right? Put your hand down. How many pay taxes on that house or that land that you own? All right? Put your hand down. You have your house sits on a lot, or it sits on acres or what, but it sits on a street. Right? Now, did you not know you don't own all that property that you pay taxes on? Because we found out yesterday there's what's called a what?
Right away.
A right away. Watch y'all. There's a right away there. And in that right of way, the city didn't ask you, could they have that right of way? The city didn't ask you, could they borrow that right of way? The city takes that right of way. Now, you can understand this as it relates to tithe. Watch. The city don't ask you nothing about that. And watch this here. A few months ago, Tina, you remember, I was in the shower. I got about 4 o'clock one morning and was taking a shower. And there was water in the bottom of the shower. And I got out the shower because that stuff don't supposed to be there. And looked in the tub. There was water in the tub. And then looked and turned the water on in the sink. And it was, you know, gargling and bubbling. I said, and something ain't right. So I went outside to the clean out. And I popped the cap off. And all that stuff started coming out. I said, oh, no. The city... I got on the phone 4 o'clock in the morning and called the city. Y'all heard what I said?
Yeah.
What time I got on the phone?
4 o'clock.
And I called the
city.
Clementine, what time does the office open at the city? Huh? But I called them at what time?
4.
Clem, why did I call them at 4? Say that again.
With your paper.
Was service available? See what she just said? The city is available 24/7. Do that again, Sister Marcella. So, Jesus said, you are a
city.
You are supposed to be available. I don't know why folks calling me this early in the morning, waking me up. I'm asleep. You know, I got to get my rest. No, you are on call. Whenever he calls you, because you are to provide services to the citizens. You know, and in the kingdom of God, you are not just saints. You are citizens of the kingdom. Now, we think that's just for the pastor and the pastor's wife. It's for all of us. Y'all with me? That if somebody call you at 3 o'clock in the morning, don't talk about, well, I'll come see you in the morning. No, no. When that sewer backed up in my house, I don't want you at 8 o'clock. I need you now. Now, watch this here. I don't only need you. Clem, who handles that? With our city. Huh? Okay. And who works for utility water that's very skilled that they send out to do those jobs? Okay. Who's one of our best ones? There we go. There we go. That's what I'm getting you to
say.
All right, Radio Land. We thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. There we go. There we go. That's what I'm getting you to say. Now, when Henry comes out at 4 o'clock in the morning, all right, y'all tell Henry I preached about him today. When Henry comes out at 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't want Henry to come scratching his head and say, "Rev, you know, I don't really know what's going on." Henry, I don't want to hear that. You know why? Because we got a stinky situation here. And we need you to not tell me that you don't know what's going on. I need you to fix the problem. So the city don't send some greenhorn out there scratching their heads talking about, "I don't know what's going on." Well, you are a set on a that cannot be. So God, when he sends you forth to provide service, don't you go out there like a greenhorn talking about, "I don't know what's going on." And that's why you need to be anointed. Now, see, in the kingdom side, we would say Henry is anointed for the job. But on the natural side, we say Henry is skilled. He know what he's doing. He's skilled. So you see, when you put natural and spiritual together, skill anointed, same thing. Have you ever read Proverbs around 10 verse 10? Ecclesiastes 10 verse 10. It says, "If the axe is dull, and you've not taken time to sharpen the blade, more strength is required. But with skill comes success," or with anointing comes success. Have you ever read Psalm 72 around the last verse? It says, "David, and he led them with the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his," or with the anointing that was in his hands. What anointing? Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. There was an anointing, you know, in his hands. All right. So as we, you know, I shared with the early class that, you know, I was doing a building down at the sewer plant, at the water. Well, this was not the water plant. It's a sewer plant. This is where that stuff that come out your house, it goes. And in the process of building that, they showed me the process. They say, "Now, here's how it come out of people's house. It goes through this, that, and the other. And over here, they held up a glass of water that look just as clean as the kind that come out of bottled water, not your house. Because, you know, the one that come out of your house is all brown. You know, it looked clearer than that water that come out your faucet at your house." And I said to myself, we need that sewer treatment plant. Huh? Because we don't want that stuff lingering around. It needs to be treated to the point that when it comes out on the other side, Hey, it ain't nothing but water that flow back into the system and the streams and the rivers, you know, and go through filtration and comes up good water again.
Amen.
You know, it's something to think about. That stuff that come out your house. Praise the Lord. You know, we won't even go there, okay? All right. But here it is. Here it is. Let me make this statement because I got to close and got to quit. All right. What if, because we talked about, you know, the right-of-way, you know, as a city. The city comes in and take that right-of-way. We related it to tithe. Okay? If you were to try to build something, you know, on that city right-of-way, even Mississippi Power, you that get served by Mississippi Power, and Coast Electric. You know, I looked across the street. Where Gigi at? Gigi and Rose. You know what's on y'all side of the street? The power poles. You know, Mississippi Power. Did Mississippi Power come and ask you, could they put their pole on your lot? Gigi, did they ask you, could, you know, we just woke up and it was there. it was there. You know, they didn't ask us for a right of way. They just took it. Because we need power. Now, let me show you how that works with tithe and offering. What if I was to go out in front of my yard, in my house, on the right of way, city's right of way, where they got their water and sewer, and I cut the water line? Who is that going to affect? Everybody on that line. You see? And people going to get mad with me because I don't want to put the cut in it. Right? Because now they can't flush their toilet. They can't wash their clothes. They can't cook. They can't shower. They can't bathe. And they're mad with me because I cut the line. When I don't pay tithe, I cut the line. People ain't mad with God. They're mad with you because you did that. So now we realize that tithe, he said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse so they may be or service in my house. So there may be service in my house. You know, I'm serving y'all right now. I'm giving y'all to understand what's on the heartbeat of God. When you're sick, you know, we come and pray. When you die, we bury you. When you need baptism, we baptize y'all. As a matter of fact, we got a couple coming up. When you need marrying, we marry you. Tina, how much I charge for that? Why? Because the tithe, you know, provides service in the house. You know, people from all over the community come and get, you know, food from the food bank. You know, how much we charge for that? You see how it works? And when somebody cut the line, I'm mad with you. Now, watch this. What if I cut the sewer line in front of my house? Oh, my God. Now people can't get that stinky stuff out their house. And let me show you. It's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the Bible. A city provides what? Service. Sewer service. To get that stuff out your house, to bring it to its plant, treat it, you know, so that you won't have to deal with that stinky stuff. Did you not know in the book of Deuteronomy, it makes a statement. God says now, I'm going to come into y'all's camp, and I'm holy. But I want all of y'all to carry a shovel. That when you got to relieve yourself, dig a hole. Not a shallow hole, dig a deep one. Because, you know, because that stuff needs to be buried up. Some of that stuff is it's no good for smelling. He said, you bury that up, and you cover that up, because when I come into camp, I'm holy, you know, and the camp is holy. And I don't want to smell that stuff. I don't want to smell no mess. God said, I don't want to smell no mess in the camp. You know, so if I cut the sewer line, this is what Achan did. Achan, you know, Achan, God made a statement and says, I'm going to give you Jericho. Jericho was the first city, you know, that Israel took on the other side of the river. What does the first city indicate? Tide. But you had a knucklehead that went in there and cut the sewer line. And Now, it might not show up right then. But down the road, they went against Ai. And something starts stinking. 36, 37 men dead. They running from the enemy. And when they get back to the camp, God says to Joshua, Joshua, somebody done cut the sewer line. It's stinking around here. And let me tell you something. I'm leaving. Until you fix and repair the sewer line, I'm not going to be involved in that stinky situation. Joshua said, but I didn't do it. God says, I don't care who did it. It's all y'all did it. It's stinking up the camp. And Joshua, I'm gone. You know what Joshua did? Because God told him, don't pray. I don't need you to pray. You know, when the sewer line is cut, you need to pray. You know the problem. It's stinking in here. I watched Henry when the sewer line broke. Henry had to take the tractor, start digging it up, digging all around. You know, got to put his hand all in that stinky stuff and deal with that stuff. Thank God for Henry. Praise God. You got to get to where the problem is. That's what Joshua and them did. They pulled straws until they got to where the problem was. And they found out it was Achan who had cut the sewer line. And he said, Achan, what have you done? Achan said, yeah, I cut it. You know, Achan, you got to die. Your wife got to die. Your children got to die. We're going to burn all your stuff up. So they made the repair, covered it back up. And God came back in the camp. So the thing is, you got to look at that and see, you know, a city set on a hill. I hope we've been stirred some stuff in your life with city that you go back and start investigating this here. And one last thing I want to say as you stand to your feet. Bree. When Henry came out there, I'll tell you what Henry did. Henry didn't stir in the stuff. He made the stuff flow. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
We have a lot of citizens like to stir in the stuff. If you stir in it, you're just going to cause the stink more. I didn't need the city to send out nobody to stir it. I need you to send out somebody who's going to make it flow. Somebody say, make it flow.
Make it flow.
Why? Because I am a city that's set on the hill. You know, as we pray today, we have that independent audit every year that's required of us. To show us where we are, to project where we're going, but we got to be transparent. There's a financial term that government use called cooking the books. Mm-hmm. Businesses use that same thing. Meaning that they hide stuff between the real stuff to make it look like you got more than what you have. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. You can make your vehicle a driving or rolling university, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, I'm recalling a story. in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.